Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to this Wednesday edition of our program right here at the middle of the week. Great to have you with us. We're listening to Derek Prince all this week talk about the new life. Fascinating insights about who Jesus is and how we are changed by him. He's really talking about how to encounter Jesus and what it means to be born again. If you're a believer, if you're already a Christian, this is great stuff that helps you understand the commitments that you've made to Jesus Christ and what he's doing in you. If you don't know Jesus, if you would say you're not born again, if you haven't committed your life to him, then boy, is this for you, because it's going to help you understand what it means to be born again in Jesus, something we pray that you'll do before this program is over. So get a Bible, get something to write with. And by the way, if you've missed this first day, the first couple of days of this, Monday and Tuesday, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org and you'll find all of this. You can listen to it as often as you need to so that it really becomes revelation to your soul. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us on the new life.
Our theme for this week is Born of God. It deals with the most profound, life-changing experience that can ever happen to any human being. The decisive act that brings about this experience, as I've explained in my previous talks this week, is personally receiving Jesus. In my talk today, I'm going to explain more fully the new kind of life that's produced in us by the new birth. We may state this very simply. This new life is Jesus himself, his nature, his life, imparted to us by the Holy Spirit. We have to be so very simple at this point. It's not really theology. It's a very simple, basic fact which leads to experience. The life is Jesus. Let's take some statements made by Paul and see how he expresses this. First of all, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul makes one of the most simple yet profound statements ever recorded in literature. For me, to live is Christ. It's a personal matter, you understand. He didn't speak for anybody at that point but himself. Everybody has to make this personal. It's not congregational. It's not an experience that's national. It's an experience that has to be individual. For me, to live is Christ. Christ is life. My life is Christ. It's an indestructible life. It's an eternal life. It's a divine life. It's a life that can never be harmed or overthrown by anything that happens on the earthly plane. It is Christ. I remember growing up in the Anglican Church in Britain as a boy, I was taught to say in various phrases, Our Lord and Savior, our Lord. It was general. Then I met a little lady, and I heard her say, My Lord and my Savior. And I said to myself, I can't say that. I had the general, the collective. I didn't have the individual and the personal. Bear in mind, this has got to be personal. Something for you. Just as Paul said, for me, to live is Christ. So in Galatians 2:20, Paul returns to the first person again. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Well, if you no longer live, how are you alive, Paul? But Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, it's not I who am living any longer. Why not? Because I've received Jesus. I came to the end of myself. I came to the end of my own life. In Christ, through his crucifixion, through his death, I died. I have been crucified with Christ. From now on, there's a new life. The cross was the end of the old life. The grave was where it was buried. But when Jesus was resurrected, and I received the resurrected Christ through the Holy Spirit, then I started a totally new life. It's Christ now living in me. And then again, in the writings of Paul in Colossians, chapter 3, verses 2, 3, and 4, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You bear in mind that this comes from above. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You see, when we come into this experience, we have a hidden life, a life the world doesn't see, a life the world doesn't understand, but it's real in us, it's real to us. And then Paul goes on to make this amazingly simple statement. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Let me just take out some words. Christ is your life. Christ is my life. Now I can say that. I've been able to say that for more than 40 years. It's a living, personal, daily reality. I'd like to ask you, can you say the same? Christ is my life. But this inner life also affects our physical bodies. So Paul goes on to say in the next verse, Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then he that raised up Christ from the dead will also quicken or give divine life to your mortal body. In this dispensation, our bodies remain mortal. They're still subject to decay and to death. That's a reality. Our hair begins to turn gray or drop out. Our teeth are not as strong as they were. Our muscles don't function exactly as well. That's a reality in the life of all of us. But we don't have to submit to that totally. Because although we're in a mortal body, in that body, inside it, is a divine, eternal resurrection life. And that resurrection life in the Holy Spirit can give divine life to our mortal body. I believe God can keep us vigorous and healthy as long as he has a task for us on earth. And when our task is finished, then he can take us to himself. Paul expresses this too. Just one more quotation. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore we do not lose heart. So don't lose heart, dear friend, dear Christian brother or sister. Don't lose heart. Because though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. We have this conflict in the Christian life. The outer man is decaying. We are still in a mortal body. We're still subject to the pressures of life. But we don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to lose heart. Because there's something else in us that is greater than all that comes against us. Paul that said, he that is in me, or he that is in you, is greater than all that comes against you. You can count on that inner life. If Jesus is living there, he's equal to every need, every situation, every problem, every pressure. Your outer man is perishing, decaying, but your inner man can be renewed day by day.
You know, one of the great evangelists in the history of the church, George Whitefield, said this, "We are immortal until our work is done." When we are believers in Jesus Christ, even though the outer man decays, the inner man lives on and lives on in God. In fact, even our physical bodies are immortal, are unchanged, are protected until we finish our role on this earth. That's a truth that we need to hang on to. Listen, we have a gift for you. It's a booklet called Extravagant Love. We want to make it available to you free and postage paid. You're going to love this book. It's all about the extravagant love of God and how it moved Jesus to touch our lives and to fill our lives. You can get it by logging on the website at derekprince.org, and we're going to give you a phone number here in just a few moments. There's more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
When life seems lifeless and hope far away, it's time for change, a complete transformation. In his encouraging book, Transformed for Life, Derek Prince reveals how Jesus' death on the cross began a marvelous transformation that can reach into your life right now. Through its pages, you'll discover how God's sacrificial gift forever changed the lives of those who know him, and why his sacrifice will take care of you completely. God's love for you is far from ordinary. Isn't it time for you to see how you can become transformed for life? To order your copy or to get one for someone you love, call us toll free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is only $12.95, and if you order now, we will make sure you receive it in time for the holidays. God has a transformed life waiting for you. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. We're listening to Derek Prince teach us about what it means to be born again, about what the new life in Jesus is really all about. And I'm going to say what I said earlier. If you're a believer, this is renewing your understanding of some fundamental truths that are part of your life, essential parts of your life. If you're not a believer, listen and see if God doesn't pierce your heart with a faith to believe so that you can be born again.
Now, in the natural order, when a baby is born, when a new life comes into a human family, that life requires proper nurture and care in order to grow and become strong and healthy. If you don't feed the baby, if you don't care for the baby, even if it was a beautiful, healthy baby when it was born, it will ultimately cease to live. The same is true in the spiritual order. The new life produced in us by being born of God requires proper nurture and care. So in my talk today, I'm going to explain just how to nurture and care for that new life that comes through the new birth. Over the years, it's been my privilege to help many, many people who have newly been born of God, and I don't know that there's any greater privilege than that. Over those years, I've come to see from experience and observation that there are four main priorities for such a person who has been born of God. And I will list them for you now in what I consider to be order of importance. First, appropriate spiritual nourishment, which is God's Word. Second, keeping in touch with the life source, which is, in one word, prayer. Third, confessing our faith openly. And fourth, fellowship with other believers. I'm going to state them again. First, appropriate spiritual nourishment, which is God's Word. Second, keeping in touch with the life source, which is prayer. Third, confessing our faith openly. And fourth, fellowship with other believers. Now, to help you practically, I'm going to say a brief word about each of these priorities. First of all, appropriate spiritual nourishment, which is God's Word. In Matthew 4, verse 4, this is what Jesus says. It is written, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." In the Bible, bread is taken as an example of man's staple basic diet. And so Jesus says the staple basic diet of every child of God, born of God, is the word that comes out of the mouth of God. And there are appropriate forms of diet for various stages of spiritual growth. First of all, for those who are newly born, God offers milk, something that can be taken even by an infant and easily digested by an infant. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Peter says this, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." Notice the key phrase, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow. It's the milk of the Word of God, the simple, basic truths and teachings of the Word of God, really such as I'm bringing in this talk today, by which you can grow and become a strong, healthy child of God. However, for the mature, for those who are spiritually advanced, God has solid food. And the writer of Hebrews speaks about that in Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." As long as you can only take milk, you are still spiritually a babe. "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." God has more than milk, but you have to grow up to the point where you can receive it. How do you become able to receive it? The writer of Hebrews says very clearly, "Because of practice, such people have their senses trained to discern good and evil." It's a matter of practice. It's a matter of regularity. It's a matter of studying God's Word and learning to divide the Word of truth rightly. If you don't do that, you'll remain a spiritual babe. Then let's look at the second priority, keeping in touch with the life source by prayer. There's some very short and potent words of Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's God's will for you to do two things, to pray without ceasing and in everything give thanks. Let me give you some very simple, basic advice about prayer in case you have problems with it. First of all, you can pray without ceasing. You can pray all the time. You can pray anywhere. You don't have to have a set form of words. You don't have to have a particular environment. You don't have to be in a particular posture. All those things may be good, but they are secondary. You can pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. You can join your praying with giving thanks. That's very important. Don't come to God simply with a shopping list and call that prayer. Always begin by thanking Him and acknowledging Him. The more you thank Him, the closer you come to Him. The more you thank Him for what He's already done, the more faith you have for what you believe He's going to do. Then submit your will and plans to God. Seek His guidance and help. Commit your needs to Him. And again, never separate praying from thanking. Let me say that again. It's very important. Begin by thanking and acknowledging God. Submit your will and plans to God. Seek His guidance and help. Commit your needs to Him. And never separate praying from thanking. The third great priority for those born of God is to confess our faith openly. In Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus says this, "Everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." You see, the way we respond concerning Jesus on earth determines the way that Jesus in heaven responds concerning us. And we're only given two options. There's no third option. We either confess him, acknowledge him openly, declare our relationship to him, or we deny him. If we confess him, he will confess us. If we deny him, he will deny us. It's extremely important that in a quiet, tactful way, you communicate to those around you the fact that you believe in Jesus, that he is your Savior, he is your Lord, you're living for him. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a Bible thumper, but you do have to confess him.
Derek says there are four main priorities for a person who's been born of God: appropriate spiritual nourishment, keeping in touch with the source of life, and confessing our faith openly. And he's going to tell us the fourth one when he wraps up this teaching in just a moment as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
How would you define extravagant? The absolute best? Over-the-top luxury? The ultimate in comfort and security? Then what would extravagant love be like? And what would extravagant love mean to you? The dictionary defines extravagant as going beyond reasonable limits, excessive, or unrestrained. And although you may not realize it, the truth is, you are loved in that way right now. God Himself loves you extravagantly. In his book, Extravagant Love, Derek Prince searched out key parables and scriptures from the Bible that define and explain God's love. He compiled these verses along with his insights into a comprehensive, easy-to-read book. God's love is not only unconditional, it is excessive and unrestrained. That is why we want you to have a free copy of Extravagant Love, absolutely free and postage paid. To get your copy, give us a call right now, 800-448-3261. The book and the call are both free. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the extravagant inheritance that waits you. Grasp the scope of God's extravagant love for you. Call now and request your free copy. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or request your free copy of Extravagant Love when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us. Derek Prince is teaching us about the new life, and he's been talking about the priorities of a person who is new in God. He's just about to talk about one of the most important, which is fellowship with other believers. I know that we have a lot of folks in this nation particularly who want to go it alone with God, but I'll tell you what, being fitted into the body of Christ is essential. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us.
And then the fourth priority is fellowship with other believers. And this is related to our confession. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, the writer says this: "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." You confess, you keep confessing, you don't waver, you don't go back. "For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Notice the emphasis on one another. Stimulate one another to love and good works. Encourage one another. You can't do that in isolation. You need to encourage others. You need to be encouraged by others. The key to that is not forsaking our own assembling together. Have a place of worship and fellowship to which you are committed, and be regular in your attendance at it. Now, if because of circumstances you're cut out from fellowship, God will make that up to you. But if it's your own stubbornness and obstinacy, God will not make that up to you. Listen to the words of John in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Notice that fellowship is related to two vital things: walking in the light, being cleansed by the blood. If we walk in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. If we're out of fellowship, we're out of the light. And then it says, if we walk in the light, we are cleansed by the blood continually. I put it this way: the blood only cleanses when we're in the light. If we get out of the light into the dark, we lose the cleansing of the blood. And the evidence that we're in the light is that we have fellowship one with another. So bear in mind those four priorities for those who are born again. First of all, appropriate spiritual nourishment, God's word. Second, keeping in touch with the life source, prayer. Third, confessing our faith openly. And fourth, fellowship with other believers.
I want to talk to those of you listening for just a few moments who have never been born again, who have never given your life to Jesus Christ. You've been listening to this broadcast because something's been drawing you, because you sense that there's an answer here, that there's something positive, something that your heart's yearning for. Derek Prince has been talking about a relationship with Jesus, a new life that can be had and that can be nurtured. And you're looking at your life, and maybe your life isn't all that bad by external standards. You know, maybe you've got enough money and you're healthy. Or on the other hand, maybe your life's a complete mess. Regardless, you're sitting there now and you realize that you need Jesus Christ. You need this new life that Derek Prince has been talking about. What I want to urge you to do is to take a moment to pray and to confess your sins and to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, to ask him to help you make that great exchange, giving up your old life for him, to say to him that you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that God raised him from the dead again. And as you believe that, Jesus will come and take up residence in your heart. This is the prayer I'm urging you to pray. Tell him that you believe that Jesus died on the cross and that God raised him again, and you want him to take up residence in your life. And listen, we have a special gift for you that will help you to grow in what I hope will be your new Christian life. It's called Extravagant Love, and you can log on to the website at derekprince.org, and that'll be made available to you free and postage paid. May God grant you a new life in him. That's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To order your copy of Derek's book, Transformed for Life, give us a call toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is just $12.95. And when you call, be sure to request your free copy of Derek's powerful booklet, Extravagant Love.
800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order both resources securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.